Hello, everyone. I'm Brent.
And I'm Ken. And welcome to the podcast.
Today, we are going to tell you why magenta is not a color.
Okay, Brent. So, before we get into this, I want to lay out some context for our listeners. How do we even start talking about magenta in the first place? Do you want to set this up?
Yeah, actually. So this happened, maybe close to a year ago. And in all places, it happened in Vegas. I was sitting at a poker table with my wife, and she said what I thought was this incredibly absurd statement. She told me that magenta wasn't a real color. And obviously, I couldn't wrap my brain around it. That seems absurd to you, right? That claim?
I thought she made that up. That just sounded, it sounded so fake that it might be, that might be real.
Yeah. Now, here's the only thing. I happen to know my wife very well, and I know she's not prone to lying. And that's the only reason I bothered starting to look it up. But turns out there's a little bit of veracity to her claims.
Okay. First of all, what color is magenta?
So magenta is kind of a hot, pinkish, purplish, reddish color. It's really vibrant. And the way you can mix it in reality is by getting some violet and getting some red and just putting the two together in equal proportions.
Okay. So why is magenta not a color then? Because I've definitely have seen magenta before.
Okay. So I'm going to say this. In order to answer that question, I think we really need to answer another question first, and that is, what is a color really, Ken? What really is a color?
I feel like you're about to tell me.
I am about to tell you. Okay, so, you know, I don't know if you're anything like me, Ken, but I've been seeing colors since I was a wee lad, a little baby, okay? And so, it obviously, this applies to everyone, too. We've all seen colors since we were young, and so since they've been such a fixture of our life for so long, I think it's very easy to think of colors as some sort of immutable characteristic of an object that we just see. Like, whatever the object is, we just see it. But the truth, obviously, as always, a little bit more complicated than that. So the way humans see color is that objects reflect different wavelengths of light, and we call the different colors that we can see the visible light spectrum. The visible light spectrum goes from blue on one end to green in the middle to red on the other end, and all those colors have a wavelength associated with them. The shorter wavelengths are blue, the medium wavelengths, again, are green because they're in the middle, and the long wavelengths are red. And we have three cones in our eyes that primarily detect those colors. So we can see other colors too, like orange, yellow, light blue, whatever. But again, all those colors have a wavelength associated with them on the visible light spectrum. If you get two of those colors I just talked about and you blend them together, our brain will pick up a color that's between them on the visible light spectrum. You'll remember this from kindergarten, you know, in art class, we'd mix red and green and we'd get yellow. Yellow is between red and green on the visible light spectrum. Anytime we blend two colors, we always see the color in the middle. And that pattern works every single time, except for when you mix the two ends of the visible light spectrum. Okay. So I'm going to go back to my art class example to really illustrate this. If you were to take one end of the light spectrum, which is violets, our blues, the short wavelengths, and mix it with reds, the long wavelengths, following the pattern we talked about, you should get the color that's in the middle of those two on the visible light spectrum. By the way, the color in the middle is green. But that doesn't happen in art class. Like, if you were to go downstairs and mix violet and red together, you wouldn't get green. Now, why is that the case? Well, I mentioned earlier that we have cones in our eyes that can detect blues, reds, and greens. So when we mix blues and reds, when we should get green, because that's what's in the middle of the visible light spectrum, the cones in our eyes say, hold up, not the case, because it actually can't detect those green medium wavelengths. Those wavelengths aren't hitting the cones in the back of our eyes. The only cones that are being activated are the ones that are detecting the reds and the blues. So those are, it's the eyes are only detecting the wavelengths for the reds and the blues. So what happens is our brain makes up a color called magenta that does not exist on the visible light spectrum.
So magenta should technically be green, is what you're telling me?
Yeah, basically. The combination of those two colors should be green, but since we already associate green with a particular wavelength in our brain, we just make up a new color, and that's magenta.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if an alien species that had more advanced eyes than ours came to our planet, they would look at the magenta color and they would simply say, it's green?
Well, no, we don't know, to be honest with you. And I'm going to say something wild. We don't even have to talk about aliens to ask that question. We have different species of animals on this planet that have more cone receptors than we do. There's animals that can pick up colors beyond red, green, whatever. There's animals that can sense UV light. So there are animals that may or may not see magenta on this earth. It's really based on our biology. But again, this is the one thing that I can tell you. Magenta is different for us because unlike the other colors I mentioned, we see it because it has a wavelength on the visible light spectrum. Magenta is just made up in our brains to try to figure out what this particular combination, to figure out what red and blue should be like. It's made up in our minds. It doesn't exist on the visible light spectrum, unlike the other colors.
Hmm, interesting. Yeah.
By the way, we actually have a name for magenta or other colors that our brain perceives that actually don't fall on the visible light spectrum, and we call those non-spectral colors. It's interesting. It kind of makes you start wondering, like, what really is a color, Ken? Like, is a color an actual characteristic of an object? Is it a light wavelength that object reflects? Or, like magenta, is color just an interpretation of our brain? Is it just in our head? Does it not actually exist?
Yeah, that is really interesting to think about the world that you see around you and realize that we see what we see and the colors that we see that we've defined are only based on our limited ability to perceive light.
We're living in the matrix, Ken.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's just a brain stimulus. It really is. It's just a brain stimulus. It's like, hey, there's blue and red. It should be something in between, but the in-between detector can't pick it up, so I'm just going to make something up, and here it is.
Hmm. You know, on that note, actually, I want to go on a slightly separate tangent about colors in general.
I thought tangents weren't allowed on this podcast.
It's happening. Okay, so for example, do you ever think about the colors that you see either on your computer screen or on a piece of paper?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you probably know where I'm going with this, but we actually have two different models for how we think about colors, at least two. I think there might be more, but here's the two main dominant ones. There's one color model called the RGB color model, which stands for red, green, and blues.
Oh, that would match up with what we were just talking about with the cones in the back of our eyes.
Exactly.
That's three colors we detect.
Exactly.
Okay.
So when you look at something on your computer screen or when you're looking at something on your phone, that's usually based on the RGB color model. And this color model is what you get when you mix either green, red, or blue light together. Like you mentioned earlier, you can use that to form other colors. Well, this is what's known as the additive color model because you add more red, more green, or more blue to create a color. So, for example, RGB has something called a hex code. It's basically a hashtag followed by 6 characters that represents a particular color. So I'll give you a couple hex codes. For example, white is represented by the color hashtag FFFFFF. So that hex code represents white. The color black is represented by hashtag 000000. And the hex code for magenta, like you mentioned, is hashtag FF for red, for all red, 00 for no green, and FF for blue.
Okay, so just like we talked about, it's emitting reds and blues and eliminating the green.
Exactly. Now, what's interesting is when we print stuff on a printer, that's a completely different color model. And it's a color model called CMYK. Have you heard of this?
Okay. No.
So CMYK stands for cyan, magenta, yellow, and key. Key meaning black. I'm not sure why they call it key instead of black, but that's what they call it.
Okay.
And so this is what is known as a subtractive color model. So cyan is the color that you get when you subtract the color red.
So I don't understand that. What do you mean?
Yeah, so
subtract red from what?
So cyan ink absorbs red light.
Oh, it reflects everything but red.
Exactly. Magenta is what you get when you absorb only the green light, when you reflect all the colors but green.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow is what happens when you absorb blue light. And black is what happens when you absorb all light. Yeah. Now, there's actually some controversy around this. The reason I mention all of this is because I want to talk about this one particular thing. I want to talk about the color black.
Okay.
All right. So there's a substance called Vanta Black that absorbs 99.96% of all light. And it's
like
supposed to be the blackest black there is.
Okay.
Have you heard of this at all?
No, I haven't. It's never even occurred to me to think of black in terms of what percent of light it can absorb, but that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So a company called Surrey Nanosystems actually created Vanta Black, and they did it using something called carbon nanotubes. So carbon nanotubes, this is really crazy, actually. They take molecules of carbon, lay it out into a single sheet, a flat sheet of carbon, roll it up into a tube, and use that to form Vanta Black. I don't even understand how it works, but that's how they do it.
I'm lost too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So they came out with a spray paint version of Vanta Black. And so if you're an artist, you might be really excited to use this blackest of black. Well,
yeah.
Here's where the controversy comes in. Since 2014, an artist by the name of Anish Kapoor has had the exclusive licensing rights to Vanta Black. So no one else except Anish Kapoor is allowed to use Vanta Black.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Why did he care about having the exclusive rights to it?
He has a licensing deal. He's the only person allowed to use it.
Okay.
So this pissed off the artist world. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2016, another artist by the name of Stuart Semple came up with a pink that he called the world's pinkest pink. And he made that color available to literally everybody except Anish Kapoor.
Oh, that's amazing.
And what's even better about that is in 2017, he came out with a color, an acrylic paint that he called Black 2.0 with the exact same licensing right. And then in 2019, he came out with an even blacker black called Black 3.0. Now, it's not as black as Vanta Black, but it's pretty black. It absorbs 99% of all light instead of 99.96 like Vanta Black. And once again, this Black 2.0 has a licensing agreement. When you buy the paint, you have to agree, you legally declare that you are not Anish Kapoor, that you are not affiliated with Anish Kapoor. You're not buying this item on behalf of Vinesh Kapoor or for any of his associates.
Wow. Man, those artists get down, huh? They're very vindictive.
What's funny about this is Anish Kapoor actually posted a picture on Instagram. He had somehow gotten a hold of the world's pinkest pink, and he posted a picture of his middle finger dipped in the paint. So the only reason I went on this whole color segue is just to talk about Black is Black.
Okay. Well, it's interesting.
Yeah. So now you know about magenta, Vanta Black, the world's pinkest pink, and Black 3.0.
There you go. There you go. Okay. I guess maybe we could just finish the podcast by having you state your opinion. Do you think magenta is actually a color since it doesn't have an associated visible light spectrum?
You know, I think because all color is just a construct of what we can see, and it's just something that we've come up with, we can come up with whatever we want.
Yeah.
And so I think magenta is still color.
Yeah. I actually am going to agree with you. I'm just going to do whatever my little brain tells me to do. And if it wants to recognize magenta, more power to you, brain. All right. Take it easy.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please remember to subscribe and share the podcast with friends and family.
Also, we'd really like to communicate with you. So if you have any questions, comments, or even ideas for upcoming shows, please reach out to us at contact@welookedituporyou.com. We also have Twitter, and you can reach us there @welookedituporyou, the number 4, and the letter U. Thank you, everyone.
Until next time.
Until next time.